I'm on now. Salvation to us today, this evening, and so I invite you to bow with me, please. We'll pray. Start off. Lord, we thank you for this morning, or this evening. There we go. And Lord, just thank you for this day. What a blessing it is to gather with your people, to come before you with joy and adoration for the demonstration of your great love and mercy. By giving us your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for him. Thank you, Lord God, for sending the Savior of the world to us. But the way that you did it just still amazes us. That you came not with pomp and circumstance, but you came in humility. You came the lowest of low. Thank you, God, for the way that you came, the way that you showed us your heart. Oh God, we just ask your blessing upon each one here today. If there's someone that doesn't know you, we pray, Lord, for their salvation. That is why you came. You came to save sinners. You came to save the lost. You came that we might find forgiveness. That we might find and experience home with God forever. So Lord, open our hearts up this evening as we worship you, as we hear your word, as whether it's read or preached, we pray, God, give us ears to hear, hearts to respond, and worship, and give our lives to you all over again, because you're worthy. Thank you again, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. By the way, did you have the opportunity to hear Ella play that beautiful song? Let's give Ella a hand. I'm going to ask at this time Peggy and whoever she drags along with it. Oh, looks like Mike. And they're going to do our Advent reading and light the Advent candle.
God's people said.
Amen.
And this time, we're going to have Roman. He's going to come on out, and he's going to share with us a song. Tell you about it. And all God's people said.
Amen.
You may be seated at this time. Sheila, you're going to come and do another reading for us. Along with
Wasn't sure if you were able to. Yeah, well, no, the kids said they did enough last week, so it was all for us. All right, I'm going to read to you two. And so it was that while they were there, days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds, living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before him, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you in this day, in the city of David, a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, laying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, say it with me, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And so it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that's come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger.
All right. Praise God for his word. This time, Joe Gant is going to share with us a song.
Thank you.
again as we continue worship.
Thank you.
time, Liberty is going to come and share with us a song. Share a little bit of the song that she had just sang, that final lyric. But let's go to prayer. Father, again, thank you. What a blessing. Thank you for our young people this morning or this evening that have shared with us in song, and our hearts are lifted. Our hearts are encouraged. A light has shined and through the songs that have been sung and that have been played, and the scriptures that have been read. Shining in the darkness, that is what Jesus came to do. He is indeed the day spring, the Son of Righteousness. He's the light that pierces the darkness. We thank you, God, that you have shined in our darkness and delivered us into your kingdom of light. God, open our hearts today. Speak to you through your word, speak to our hearts. And thank you for this precious song that, while also in one sense is there's a somberness to it, there's something melancholy about it, and yet there's hope in it as the chorus is, rejoice, rejoice, And so, Lord, we rejoice in you. We rejoice in our Savior. You have come. You have already come to deliver. You have already come to save. And that salvation is ready and waiting for any who would believe. Thank you, God, for that precious gift. In Jesus' name, amen. Some of you, many of you have been with us, but some of you maybe haven't in the past few weeks. We've been actually working through this song. Maybe you have a favorite Christmas carol. This is one of mine. And it just, because it touches in a way that it just touches kind of a chord in my soul. It's because it speaks to this longing as the song was written kind of from the perspective of those that were in captivity or those that were anticipating captivity, the Jewish people, or even those that were under oppression. And so really kind of takes in all of the experience of a people waiting for their deliverer. And yet it's a song of hope. And so one of the things, if you're familiar with the song, you'll notice there's a number of, there's different names and titles that are given to Jesus. In that first stanza, it speaks of him being Emmanuel. And in another stanza, speaks of him being Day Spring. And we've considered the fact that he's called the Rod of Jesse also in this song, in one of the lyrics. And here, the title that we'll consider today is The Key of David. O come, thou Key of David, come, and open wide our heavenly home. Make safe the way that leads on high, and close the path to misery. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. And so the people of God, who were waiting in exile from their homes, you can think of those in Babylon, they've been exiled from Zion. They've been exiled from the city of God, the city of David. They had longed for the restoration of the kingdom of David. Even after, this title was given 600 years before, roughly, before Jesus came. And so this title was given to him prophetically. And so even after the captivity, after they return back to the land, even there, they're under oppression. So then we can think of the time of the birth of Christ. And we can think about the fact that at the time, Caesar was in control and Herod, that tyrant, was a ruler and a king. And so there, even there, there was this, the people of God were under this oppression. And they were waiting and longing and anticipating the promised one, the promised deliverer. And so at this time, at the time of Christ's birth, the house of David is owned and ruled by another, by someone who had no fear of God. Now this title was given, was referred to Jesus, at least implied, and this is back in Isaiah chapter 22, verse 22. I think the first time that this title is given, really is speaking to Christ. And it says this: the key of the house of David I will lay on his shoulder, and he shall open it, and no one shall shut, and he shall shut, and no one shall open. Now, I think the context is really important. And so the passage specifically is referring to a person who had authority over the kingdom of David at the time, and his name was Shebna. All right, so there's a name for you, Shebna. How does he relate to Christmas at all? Well, I don't know if he does, but he does relate to this prophecy regarding the key of David. And so Shebna, he was basically functioning as a prime minister, if you will. He was not functioning as the king, but he was basically ruling. He was in that position to rule for the king. And so the king had oversight of him, but he basically ran. He was in control, had the power and authority of the house of David. But he had abused his power, he abused his authority. He was a poor manager of the household of David. You could go to Isaiah 22 and it'll speak to some of that. And so this Shebna, who is a steward of the household of God, was, again, he's essentially the one that this scripture is speaking to. And so Shebna managed the finances, again, as well as all the other matters pertaining to the kingdom. So Shebna possesses the supreme authority. He is the one who has the key, okay? The key to the house of David. He who had the say as to whether the door would open to you to meet with the king or it would be shut to you, okay? Now, he probably wore a symbolic key on his shoulders, okay? And so, but the idea that, if you're familiar with Jewish history, there's a lot of symbolism on the things that they wore. And so very likely Shebna had a key on his shoulder, or maybe around his neck or around his shoulders, that signified his supreme authority, his rulership, his governance over the house of David. And we sing these songs. Have you ever thought of what the title even means? And all of a sudden, I'm telling you, for me, I kind of geek out over this stuff, if you know me at all. And this is one of those things like, oh, this is really cool. And so what's happening in this, in Isaiah 22, is that the Lord, through Isaiah, is removing Shebna from that position of authority. And he's taking the signs of that authority off of his shoulders. And he's going to put it on another man by the name of Eliakim. All right. This is Isaiah 22, verse 20. Then it shall be in that day that I will call my servant Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah. I will clothe him. Now, this is speaking to Shebna. I will clothe him with your robe and strengthen him with your belt. I will commit your responsibility into his hand. He shall be a father to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and to the house of Judah. The key of the house of David I will lay on his shoulder, so he shall open and no one shall shut, and he shall shut and no one shall open. I will fasten him as a peg in a secure place, and he will become a glorious throne to his father's house. Now, we don't know a lot about Eliakim. We do know that he served under Hezekiah. Hezekiah was a good king. And so we know that he served under Hezekiah, and that the scriptures seem to indicate that he was faithful. He was a faithful man, a man of faith, and he served in this capacity of steward, of prime minister, under the king, with honor and integrity and humility. And so again, Shebna was given, had the position, had on his shoulder the key of David, and it was taken away, and his belt was taken away, and his cloak was taken away, and his responsibilities were taken away, and they were placed upon this man named Eliakim. And Eliakim was faithful. But as we look at the scripture, often in scripture, there's a number of people in scripture. When you look at them, the scriptures indicate in one way or another that this man, that this isn't just talking about this particular person. It's looking down the line at somebody else. And so when we think about Eliakim, this passage all of a sudden isn't just about Eliakim. Eliakim is standing in for someone else. In other words, he is going to hold a place for one who would ultimately receive the key of David, who would carry the government upon his shoulder. And so Eliakim, of course, points to Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Son of David. He would fulfill the role and capacity of the steward of the household of God. It would be to Jesus that the key of the house of David, which would be laid upon his shoulder. We read this scripture earlier. For unto you, or unto us, a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end, upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. So Eliakim is given this great responsibility as the steward of the house of David. He would be given the authority to open the door and shut the door to his heavenly Father. In fact, Jesus claims this title of himself, or this responsibility, in Revelation chapter 3. It says, these things, Jesus is speaking here, these things says he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David. Have you ever thought of this? How many times have we read this scripture or sang this song but have no idea what it means? Jesus says, he, it is he who has the key of David. He who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens. It is this one in Isaiah 22 that the people were looking forward to. Those in captivity, those under the oppression of Caesar, those under the oppression of Herod, they're looking forward to the one who would be the key of David, who would have the government upon his shoulder. Jesus is the key of David. He is the key that unlocks the door into the house of David with all of its promises. Think about the promises that have been given to David. Think about the promises that have been given to the people of God. That all the covenants, the promises, its glories, its unsearchable riches. Jesus is the one who gives access to it. He's the door. He's the key. He opens the door for anyone who would come and believe and receive him. But it is only through him that we can enter in. Think about a key for a moment and how important it is. I don't know about you. I couldn't find my house key for years. And eventually I just had to decide to buy a new lock. I'm not even quite sure where that key is. I think it's on my key ring, but it kind of blends in with the others. I'm not sure. Just used to not bother him with the front door. But, you know, then things happen and you start thinking about that. We understand the importance of a key, because it's what we use to enter our house, to lock the door, or open a safe, or drive a car. We understand the importance of that. The idea of a key, to possess the key, is to have free and complete access. We're speaking of a house, to have complete and free access to the house. To be given the key to the house is to be given control over the house. Key signifies authority, and it signifies ownership. There's a funny key story. So I used to have the privilege of using the Manfisher truck, or one of their vehicles, to get wood, right? Dave Heller, when he was around. And you know, so I had a spare key in my truck, and I could use the truck anytime I needed it. I was given authority and control of the truck. Well, a few years later, God takes Dave to glory. And guess what? I forget all about the key. And eventually, Manfisher gets rid of some of their vehicles. So, you know, so they have this, and there's one, you know that there's a van that drives around. Anybody see that van? There's an old Manfisher van that just still drives around here. You see that? Well, one day I was looking through my vehicle, and I saw the Manfisher vehicle key in my console. And I thought of that van. And I'm like, man, I need to get that guy this key. You know, I mean, I don't need it. He sure probably could use a spare key. And anyway, I just kind of logged in the back of my mind. Well, I'm driving down Elmway one day, and just on the other, just past Queso's there, to the left, there's some houses, whatever. There's one, there's a house that kind of looks like a storefront of sorts, and there's a van there, and it's the old Manfisher van. So I'm thinking I'm going to do the nice thing. I'm going to pull in there, and stop, pull in, and I go get out of the truck, and I knock on the door. See if somebody's home. Nobody's answering the door. I'd like to just give them these keys. Well, I go to the side of the van, and I notice that the van window is down a little bit. So I'm like, wow, just throw the keys in there. So I throw the keys in the van, and I drive away, and then realized, wait a second, That was the Van Fisher truck keys, not the van keys. I just really confused that guy. I mean, he's going to open the van, and he's going to wonder where these keys came from. Anyway, I got a kick out of him. To this day. But I don't, you know, and he's still driving around, and I've wondered whether I should tell him. But I probably won't. That's the wrong key story. Here's a good key story. Now, you know, my friend, you know, Tom, everybody knows Tom. Well, one of the things that I had the privilege I've had the privilege of being part of their family. You know, they had invited me into the home. I was friends with Pete, his brother, and I'd never met Tom before. But I had free access to that house. I knew where the key was to get in the house. It was an obvious rock outside the house. You know what I'm saying? It's like, oh, there it is. But I had free access into the house, free access to the fridge. I had free access to, I wore Pete's clothes because there were times during school, I'd spend the night, I was over there late, and we were the same size, I just wore his clothes. Anyway, I had free access to the house, and they were a family that just invited me, and I had just tremendous freedom in this house. And it was, you know, just make myself at home. Well, there I had made myself at home, and I'm sleeping in Tom's bed. Tom and Pete shared a room, and Pete's sleeping, I'm sleeping, it's the middle of the night. And I'm kind of startled because the window right next to the bed, I'm on the second floor, starts to open and opens all the way. And it's Tom, and he's climbing in thinking that nobody would be in his bed, and he somehow sneak into his house without his parents knowing. That was my introduction to Tom. I had the key, apparently he did not. So they trusted me more than him. In any case, to be given the key is to be given access. To be given freedom. To be given ownership. And when someone purchases a house, he's given the key to the house. And the previous owner relinquishes all rights and all control of the house. The owner the owner of the key has the right to invite anyone in or to bar anyone from coming in because he has the key, because he's the owner of the house. Permission begins and ends with him. Jesus has been given the key to the house. And there is no other way into the house but through the one who has the key. Jesus refers to himself also as a door. You're familiar with John chapter 10. Jesus says, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All whoever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep do not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. Another place, Jesus says in John 14, he says, I am the way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. There are not many ways to get in to the Father's house. There are not many ways you're not climbing through the back door or through a window or anything like that. You have to go through the door, and Jesus is the door. And so when Jesus was sent by the Father, he was saying, he was giving us the key. This is the only way into my house. It is through Jesus and none other. Eliakim points to Christ. Jesus receives the key of David. He receives the key to the house of God. And so the Father sent the Son, and the Word became flesh, and God became a baby. And Jesus was given the key of David in order to open the Father's house to all those who would believe. Remember what Jesus said also in John 14. It says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Amen? I love what he says to Mary. It's Mary. after his resurrection. And he says, don't hold on to me right now. I go to my Father and your Father, my God and your God. You see, Jesus is the one who opens up the Father so that it's not just his Father, it's our Father. He invites us into the family of God. But it's through our big brother, the only begotten Son of God. Amen? That's how we enter in. Jesus is the key. He's the door. He's the way. When the exiled and forlorn people of God long, what they long more for, was it just their earthly home and their earthly city, their earthly country? The song indicates that Jesus came to give us a home that was permanent, secure, unmovable, and eternal. Listen to the words of the song. Oh, come thou key of David, come and open wide our heavenly home. Don't you love that phrase, our heavenly home? Say our. Our, that means ours. It belongs to us. See what Jesus has done? See what Jesus has done as the key of David? He has opened up the house and said, hey, you can... It's your house too. Our heavenly home. Make safe the way that leads on high and close the path to misery. Jesus' home is my home. The Father's house is my house. His possessions are our possessions. He shares it all. In fact, the word says his throne is our throne if we are in Christ Jesus. His glory is our glory. He shares his glory with us. It's our glory. His heaven is our heaven. Our name is right next to his on the title deed because he's the key of David. You see, the owner of the house has the right to give the key to his house to anyone he chooses that they too might enter in freely. Jesus says this in Matthew 16, on this rock I will build my church. So he's talking about the church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And then he goes on to say how one of the ways that that will be. How is it that the church will prevail against the gates of hell? Certainly it's mostly, first and foremost, because he's building the church. But what's our part in this? This is what he goes on to say. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. You see what Jesus has done to all those who would follow him, all those who would trust in him as their Savior and Lord, all those who would believe? He gives you the key. We, his people, are sent in the power and authority of the incarnation of Jesus Christ. As stewards of the mysteries of God, to go forth with the key of David and invite lost exiles into the house of God. We've been given that authority, that mandate, to go with the key. But you know, if his house is to become our house, there's something that has to happen. There has to be kind of a transaction. I will close with this thought. We must first give him the key to us, to our home, to our life, to our heart. We must give him the key if we're to get his key. We must tell him that my home, that me, this I belong to you. Listen to what Jesus says. If anyone loves me, it's John 14 again. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him. And we will come to him and we will make our home in him. Don't you love that? What does God want when he looks at you? What does God see when he sees you if you're his? He sees home. What do we see when we look at Jesus? What would he see when we see the Father? When we look to the Father, what do we see? Home. Isn't that wonderful? He's the key of David. Has he invited you? Have you responded to him, the one who bears the government upon his shoulder, the one who is Lord and God, Lord of all. Would you stand with me, please? Oh God, thank you for Jesus. And thank you that there's not one name that captures everything, it seems. It seems that there are so many facets to who Jesus is, that your word throughout the Bible has given us so many different ways of seeing him. Thank you that he is the King of David. Thank you that he has come to invite us in to the Father's house. Lord, if there's someone here that's outside that house, may today be the day they put their trust in you as Lord and Savior of their lives. You are our home. You are our home. And God, even now, we thank you that you're with us. And we thank you that you are coming again. And we thank you, Lord God, for the eternal home that awaits us. But we also want to thank that while that home tarries, and there's another sense it is true, and that is wherever you are, we're with you, we're home. Thank you, God. Lead us now as we close out this service. In Jesus' name, amen. Blair's going to lead us in Sound of Life. Can we catch the lights in the back there, please?
All is bright. Stop on this.